Welcome to the Marketing AI Sparkcast, where AI meets modern marketing. Hosted by Abhi Varma, a global leader in marketing, AI, and innovation, each episode brings you real conversations with leaders putting AI to work in strategy and execution. This episode is brought to you by Spark Novus and the Marketing AI Pulse community. Here's your host, Abhi Varma.
Hey, everybody. Today we have a super fun and exciting episode, which is a little bit different than what we traditionally do. So today we're talking about how all the listeners as an individual level, how can you really leverage the power of AI in your marketing day job? Like, what is the methodology of doing that? And we are super excited to welcome Frank Lazzaro. He is the author of the book Finding 12 Minutes, where he takes AI from theory to daily practice. There are lots of ways you all get your information, and there is a lot of information on what the value of AI is, but Frank really breaks down on how to go from theory to practice. And we are bringing his approach straight into marketing so you can really save time each day and turn small steps into measurable results. Frank, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, Abhi, well, thanks for having. I know that you and I have met for coffee several times, and you know, if you asked me to be on it, it's pretty exciting to kind of have this conversation.
Yeah, no, super excited. So for our listeners, let's just dig in, and maybe you wrote this book, but before that, you know, give us a little background of, you know, your career, and then what was the spark behind writing the book? I think you wrote the book earlier this year, right? So it's all very new, so we'd love to learn a little bit about the spark behind it. And I love name stories, so Finding 12 Minutes, I mean, it says it all, but I'm just very curious about how you came up with the whole idea and everything. So take it away.
And that's great. So, you know, by trade, you know, I've been a marketer pretty much all of my career. A lot of it really focused on technology, right? So starting with like working at the phone company and working on the internet services and then moving over to cell phones. Even on the payment processing side, on the financial services, you know, having worked at a bank. So I've been really rooted in marketing, but a lot of it really is all directly connected to technology. Everything with me is around technology, technology, technology. So, you know, like 2 years, 3 years ago when AI came out, we all ran into this head first. Oh, it's AI. This is great. And this is amazing. And it creates content and all this other stuff. But what I found is that companies that I was working with, you know, they were very focused on now, okay, what is the ROI? If I invest this, what am I getting in return? And then I also found too, is that a lot of my clients tend to be, you know, professional services companies. So think of marketing agencies, think of architects, engineers, where they bill by the hour. To them, it's just like, well, how do I find more time? And so the 12 minutes really started with this concept of how can I help any organization kind of really hone in on what the return in the investment is. If I gave everyone this AI tool, what do I actually get back? So for the folks that aren't worried about, say, a billable hour, they're really kind of focused on how do I save more time? How can I do more with less? If I have three people, how can we operate like five people? How can we do those things? And so I really kind of honed in on this concept of finding 12 minutes. And I will tell you, though, it's kind of funny. The reason I picked 12 is that 12 times 5 is 60. 60 is 1 hour. So I did it for the sheer purpose of simple math. So instead of saying, hey, finding 17 minutes, it was one of those things to where how can I get someone to understand the concept very, very cleanly to sit there and say, oh, 12 minutes per day, 5 days per week, 1 hour per week, 52 hours per year. So for them, it's just in simple math.
Love it. So the spark behind that, was that your own marketing team, your marketing department a little bit? Was that what kind of led you to this?
Yeah. So I was running a client services and marketing group. So pretty much responsible for submitting proposals, doing our marketing, managing social media. We were generally a small sized firm. We were about 130 people. So we only had three or four people in marketing, but we had a lot of work to do. So it started off with me really just thinking about how can I use technology to get my team to not get burnt out, not get frustrated, and also do everything that was in front of us, right? So social media posts and writing proposals and formatting and all the other things that marketers deal with on a day-to-day basis. So one of the first books that I wrote was, it was really around The Marketer's Guide to Artificial Intelligence. And it was really around, these are all the things that I see marketers could be using generative AI to use. And then it kind of evolved into not convincing people to use AI anymore. And now it started, the conversation really shifted to, what's my return? If I invest this much money in these tools, what do I get back out of it? And it's easy, right? If I give everyone Adobe Creative Suite, I do know that every time we create something, that saves us time. Therefore, we're able to produce it. It's directly related to revenue. They didn't see that initially when it came to artificial intelligence.
So this is, in a way, this is sort of, truly activation of leveraging AI in your daily life. So
yeah.
In one line, how would you describe the value of the book, like 12-Minute Habit? Yeah. What is it and why does it work?
Yeah, great question. So I think at the end of the day, I think it comes down to this. If you can save an hour per week, who doesn't want to do 40 hours of work in a 39-hour work week? If you could save an hour per day, who doesn't want to do work 35 hours, but do 40 hours of work? So not only does it benefit the company or the firm or whomever, there's also that work-life balance from a marketer's perspective, right? So when you start thinking about all of the demands and the needs that marketing departments have, right? Not all of us get the benefit of having 20 marketers and designers and writers and all this other stuff. Some of us actually operate on very lean marketing departments. So how do you get 5 people to do more? So the value or the habits and why this works is because it allows people to simply go, if I do these things and I can save 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, and next thing you know that you're up to an hour in savings per day, that just allows the marketer not to necessarily work harder, but also work smarter in terms of being able to do all the things and all the pressures that are put upon the marketing departments in terms of what they do.
Love it. Like micro wins almost.
Think of it as like agile. You think about on the software development side and agile. Why do you do agile? Well, because people like to see progress in short little windows. They don't want to wait 18 months to see a demo. What they want to do is show me what you have. And that's the same thing that marketers need to think about, is think about it as it's almost kind of like this agile mindset. What can I do right now that's going to save me a little bit of time, that's going to allow me to do this and allow me to do this? Oh, by the way, it's also going to allow me to leave work on time so I can go do some other things in my personal life.
Right. So for the folks who have not read your book, Finding 12 Minutes, can you give a little synopsis of what that looks like and the gist of the book?
So we need to get out of this mindset. I think initially the mindset was AI was going to do all of these big things, take over processes, replace people. Like we got scared that was going to do all of these things. The book turns that on its head, where I want you to only focus on the next 12 minutes, right? Right. And so when you think about that, right, so the key takeaway there is that you want to focus on those small things. So if you have a 10-step process to do something, I'm not asking you to use AI to replace all 10 steps. What I want you to do is to find what step in those 10 steps cause you the most friction. What step within those 10 steps you kind of hate doing because it's so manual or repetitive or just not exciting. That's where you want to focus on that. And that's where the book really hones in on, is it's finding those small things within a bigger process to make the process a little bit more efficient, a little bit more tolerable to do every day. So the idea is not to replace a complete process. And that's not saying that AI couldn't, not recommended right now, but it is one of, for me, it's just like, find the friction points and the things that actually cause your processes to be the slowest, right? Great example is I was having a conversation with a large beverage company here in Atlanta, and they're talking about digital shelf and digital shelf messaging. They have all of these digital shelf messages and data on what performs and what not performs. And I'm like, why don't you just use your internal GPT to go in there and actually rewrite or give you ideation around new subject lines or new messages based off of what's already working. So it just helps them jumpstart that process. So you could see how it could work to where it's like, I need a subject line. These are the subject lines that have worked for me in the past. upload them into AI and say, okay, help me ideate on 5 new subject lines, right? And all it is just helping that creation process to kind of go from 0 to 70%, and then getting human back in the loop to actually finalize it, get it approved, and then get it out the door. So the idea really is just to find those steps within your processes that cause the most friction, that cause delays, that people don't like to do, and figure out how technology, innovation, and AI can help solve for that.
And so is there a kind of a process for that? Do you have people like document all their pain points and, you know, things that they hate doing during the week, or what's the methodology for that?
Yeah. So typically what I like to do is, you know, go back and look at the process and really be honest about yourself, about how much time you spend at each step. Also document the tasks. And a lot of us actually have SOPs, right? We have standard operating procedures for certain things. Like if you work for a large organization, getting an email created, there's steps that you take. Look at each of those steps and understand where you can or you can't add in technology to kind of help streamline that. I love going back and looking at like Hootsuite, right? You go back early on in social media, you know, we didn't have tools to help manage our posts and program things out. And then these tools came out to allow us scheduling, review, all of these things. Need to treat AI exactly the same way. When you think about that process, where can AI actually be inserted that's going to help streamline that to the point? Now, that not only does that help speed up the process, but it also helps reduce any kind of risk or uncertainty in terms of, is it doing creation? Does this need to be approved? Is it accurate? It's only focused on slivers of your process versus the whole process itself.
It's almost like leveraging AI at an individual level, like what is making my life difficult right now and how can I use it? And, you know, obviously you and me are using AI fairly generically, but it could be ChatGPT, it could be any LLM, it could be whatever your company is using. If you were part of a company, and it could just essentially be, are you thinking custom GPTs or chat or any of it? Or what's your thought there?
Yeah, so I like to look at it from the perspective of use the tools that's available to you. So I do know like some large organizations, right? You're being forced to use certain tools, right? Most organizations either have, like you think of big companies like Cox Enterprises or Coca-Cola, they have their own version of a GPT. Use that. If you work for a smaller organization and they're only using Microsoft products, use Copilot. Right. So my whole thing is use the tools that are available to you and figure out how they kind of feather into that project. I do know that most marketing departments have dabbled with Canva that has an AI function. If they're using any of the Adobe Creative Suites, those have AI functions. So I just say that use the tools that are in front of you, but, you know, just understand the, you know, I love this concept of start with your problem statement. What are you really trying to solve for? Don't start with the tool. I mean, honestly, if someone comes up to me and says, hey, I want ChatGPT, my first question is why? Like outside of just having that AI tool, but what are you trying to do? What are you trying to solve? You know, so it's always start with the problem, start with a problem statement, understand your processes, and then kind of figure out what tool is going to solve that based on what's available to you.
Do you think there is value, and do you recommend people measure the post AI workflow and outcome? How much time have I saved as a result of that process, or, you know, tracking of that activity so that they sort of have a sense of how AI is adding value? Do you recommend people do that? And
100%. And there's a couple of ways that I like to kind of, particularly where you have organizations where there's resistance to using some of these tools, the method that I like to do is, Do the request the way you normally do it with the humans, the tools that you have, right? You have that output. Then do that same exact thing using AI and basically then compare the outputs. And what you find is that if you're using AI responsibly and in the right way, in a lot of ways, what you'll find is that the AI process tends to be about 25 to 30% faster. And if it's done correctly, used in an appropriate manner, the content tends to be on par with what a human could create. That's not saying that there's not mistakes, and that's not saying that that's the human in the loop part where you have to check it. But do it the way you normally do it. And a good way to test this, and a good way to, and this is a good way to do a show and tell internally, go back to a previous project, right? Go back to last quarter's email campaign and use AI to basically recreate that campaign for you and then basically compare the results. How long does it usually take us? It takes us 8 weeks to go from ideation to deployment. In the AI world, that didn't take us that long, right? So I think there's ways for you to benchmark that. And again, I always like going back to something that's been already created and then redoing it in AI just so that you can get the benchmark to see how well it would work and how much time you would save.
That's amazing. So obviously we're talking individually, people making their lives and their workflows better. In a team setting, do you think that has room for causing confusion where everybody's doing their own thing? And what's the role of the marketing leaders listening? Is there a role of, you know, education or standard tool or processes or something like that? Or how do we avoid the, you know, where each team member in the larger team just splinters off and does their own thing? They're all getting value individually, but, you know, is there any value in an overall orchestration process or training or same tools or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, one, standardization of tools is key, right? I think that that's important. Depending on the tool that you have, like if you have the ability to do like ChatGPT teams, that collaborative nature is already kind of built into it. But fundamentally, I Abby, I think you would agree with me on this, is that just because I give you the tool doesn't mean you know how to use the tool. Right. So in some instances, I think this is where training becomes more and more important when you are in the position of managing a team. Right. So getting five people on your team all trained on the same tool with the same rules of engagement. This is how we use it. This is how we don't use it. You know, we use brand guidelines. We do this basically in the same way that you would do that in an offline perspective, where you have brand guidelines, you have SOPs, you have a variety of things that allow you to standardize those things. That's the same thing that you would apply to the AI, in my opinion, right? Training is going to be key, right? Because you want everyone kind of prompting in very similar fashions, using, you know, everyone's using the same data set, right? There's a variety of mechanisms that you can do that are manual in some ways, but would just basically require people to be trained to say, this is the way we do this. Right. Just in the same way that you would have a group of designers, everyone's using the same brand guidelines for what purpose? So that the outputs actually look on brand. AI is the same exact way. You want to have those guidelines and those rules of engagement so that anything that's created in AI, regardless who's creating it on team, is going to come out fundamentally close to being the same. And you really do start with training.
Especially one of the most common use cases for any of these tools is writing. And, you know, brand voice is sacred. You want to make sure that if, you know, even with human beings, if you and me are writing something about the same brand, that we don't sound different, and AI in that regard shouldn't. So we want to make sure that you're training up AI and giving it samples of, you know, guidelines of the brand voice and, you know, brand attributes and that sort of thing, so that the output is more aligned. Is that something that you feel, I mean, not all teams really recognize that, especially if they're doing things at an individual level and just using ChatGPT or Copilot or whatever their choice of LLM is to write, where, you know, they're not as conscientious of uploading brand guidelines, they just sort of use it and prompt it. Given your methodology, what is the, you know, the strength and the reliance of their prompting skills becomes critical element of making sure that the content output is in alignment with the brand. How do you advise teams, and what have you seen, and how they deal with that?
Yeah, so a lot of what I see is that, you know, creating that standard operating procedure, meaning that if you are going to create something, you're uploading the brand guidelines, or you're uploading the approved, like if you're writing an email, you know, providing the AI with an example of, this is an example of emails that we've written previously. So it's all about just kind of building, you know, muscle memory or habits around, every time I go to do something, I make sure that I do these three things. And if you can get the org, and that's where training comes in, right? So it's not necessarily like, oh, this is what prompt engineering is. No, it's like when you go to create an email, you're always giving the LLM or the AI at least three examples of previously written approved emails. You are uploading the brand guidelines, and we have a matter of fact, I'm in the process of helping someone write this up, an internal prompt guide. So it's basically a living Word document to where there's prompts in there. So if you're writing an email or if you're doing social, they have a reference to always go back to start their base prompt. So they're not having to recreate it or memorize exactly what the prompt is. These are the approved prompts. This is what we know that works. These are the things that we want you to do. You need to use this model. You need to have this attachment. So it's all around just kind of building habits and cadence around getting everybody on the team to kind of operate and do things consistently the same time every time so that you can actually build that consistency on the back end.
Yep. I love that. I love that. So everyone's sort of working off of the same playbook, you know, if you will. And also version control, like if you make any tweaks and changes, then again, that those tweaks and changes to your brand guidelines, brand voice get rolled out, you know, throughout the team.
Right. And if you force them to say, upload the latest examples or the latest brand guidelines, if the document changes, they're not using an old prompt or an old document that would produce something that would be off brand. Right. And so, you know, the other thing too, is that's on the creation side. One of the things that, you know, I had working with a large CPG and out of the Midwest, one of the things that they found out in their process is that they spend a lot of time in Excel. It's funny, as a marketer, that's the one thing that I didn't realize kind of getting into it, is that I thought I was going to be like super creative and create content all the time, where in reality is 50% of my time is actually spent in the spreadsheet. One of the things that they found in their process is that when they're creating presentations and decks and manipulating data, they spend a lot of time trying to manipulate this. While, yes, the ChatGPTs of the world do a great job with creation, you can't underestimate the power in terms of at least saving time to kind of help you analyze data, write an Excel formula, do those things to kind of help streamline this. And you can use natural language. I want you to compare columns, column A with column B. This is what I'm trying to do. Help me write an Excel formula, right? Those kinds of things to where it can just help streamline your process down to where instead of wasting an hour on manipulating a spreadsheet, maybe you could do it in 15 minutes. You save 45 minutes of your time. So yes, while I think creation is important for marketers, and I think it's a very powerful tool for us, do not underestimate the power of the fact that we do spend a lot of time with data.
What are you seeing in terms of kind of the whole effect of smaller teams now suddenly have, you know, the capacity and the capability to behave like bigger teams, right? So based on the folks that you work with, you know, typical small team could be, you know, a manager, director, VP, whatever, that level person, and then one or two other people, so 2-3 person marketing team, can really leverage AI and then kind of end up feeling like more like a 5-7-10 person marketing team. Is that, are I exaggerating, or what are you seeing in the folks you work with?
No, I agree with you 100%. What you're finding is that, say you had a team of 4 people, and if every person on the team can find an hour per day, right? That's 4 hours per day. That's basically a part-time resource per week in terms of capacity. So when you think about that, right, just a small team of 4 people that are up and running on using AI to find an hour per person, you know, that's 4 hours per day, 5 days per week, that's 20 hours, right? So, you know, you think about finding, you think about increasing capacity, you went from a 4-person marketing department to a 4.5-person marketing department in 1 week. Right. So there's a lot of benefits, and you see organizations that have actually fully embraced this, have done the right things, take the training, you know, kind of not try to replace whole processes, but just kind of find those incremental wins in terms of process improvement. You know, they're saving anywhere from, you know, 20 hours to 40 hours per week, which is the equivalent to a half a person to a full person of work per week. So the marketing teams that I deal with that are actually are hitting on all cylinders are finding that the huge benefits of being able to find up to a person per week in time.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Now, in reality, I've seen a lot of teams and a lot of individuals, marketing professionals use AI and save time. But in reality, that time is filled up with more work. I mean, it's sort of reclaiming it and work-life balance that doesn't exist. Nobody works 40 hours anyhow. But, you know, to me, I feel that it sort of defeats the purpose of kind of reclaiming some of that time, even if you're doing it to think and plan and, you know, we're just downtime and, you know, that sort of stuff, more strategic work. But in reality, I'm just seeing all that time that people are reclaiming is getting filled up with additional work. So as an individual, yes, you may be saving time, but in reality, you're producing more overall, but not really benefiting the balance, you know, the work-life balance side of it. What do you see, and how do you advise people to deal with that sort of temptation?
So what's the meme where the Lion King, the dad and the son are standing on the rock top, and it says, "Everything the son touches is marketing's responsibility." Is that the ongoing joke? Yeah, I mean, I think so, right? I don't think that problem changes because of AI, right? I think when you look at that, you know, it's the manager's responsibility, the department head's responsibility to kind of make sure that they're managing workflows and work capacity. Yes, AI does give us the ability to kind of increase the capacity of individuals. And it's all too easy to sit there and say, well, if you can complete that faster, then you can pick up this. So I think there's the balance of both the human capacity building thing. As managers, we need to continue to ensure that just because we have this technology and we have the capacity to do more, doesn't mean that we should be getting our people to burn out faster. I think that kind of solely defeats the purpose of what we want to try to do. I do think that it opens up a very interesting conversation around what are the strategic priorities. Right. And focusing on the things that have, like, where could we deploy AI that's going to have the biggest impact to revenue? And so it is ripe for abuse, and it does have the ability to kind of, again, right, kind of fill that space and time with just more stuff. But I also think it kind of then forces leaders to then start thinking about, What is the true strategic initiatives and value that we're driving, and making sure that we are using the tool for good to kind of help solve for that without necessarily getting our marketers to burn out faster.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. So with a lot of marketing use cases, there's so many marketing use cases for AI, time savings as a sort of a value driver is sort of at this point being assumed and almost not factored in, which is kind of a shame. But, you know, saving time is a big deal. And like we were just talking earlier, it's like adding more people to the team. You're not spending more money or business or whatever. So to me, there's a huge value of productivity in saving time. But businesses are often ignoring that and saying, okay, this is all great, but now we want to make sure that AI for growth, we want to sell more and more demand generation and that sort of thing. So how do you balance the time-saving value prop of AI with other business outcomes for marketing teams, like demand generation, growth, you know, brand awareness and all those things?
So, you know, one of the things I like to focus on with this in particular is, you think about AI as the fact that, you know, marketing tends to get a bad rap with, we tend to be reactive, right? We look at lagging indicators. There's like, we don't react very fast to changing environments. So if you're, say, you're working for an e-commerce company and an email's not performing, how long is it going to take you to iterate that email to get a new email out, change the promotion, change the product mix? So using AI to kind of start focusing on predictive, right? Forget about A-B testing. How about A-B, C, D, E, F, G testing, right? Being able to kind of speed up, right? Like what we do is that we only have enough time. So we only kind of do what's necessary, right? We're only going to create two versions of this email because that's all the capacity I have to do right now is just to create those two versions. But if you had the capacity to sit there and say, we're going to start with these two emails, but at the same time, also create two other versions of those emails so that if one of those aren't performing the way that we want, we could easily tee up and get the other email. And so getting faster to market and being able to adapt to changes and things that are happening in the marketplace and a variety of other things can help us then focus on demand generation, can make sure that we're not waiting 2 or 3 days to get a new email out, right? The AI helps us and get 4 versions of an email in the same time that it takes to get 2 versions of an email created. And then we only have 2 that kind of sit on the side waiting just in case we need to react to something. That to me, I think, is where you're going to see a lot of value in this. So connecting the AI to, yeah, can you do more work? Yes. But look at it from a different direction to sit there and say, I want to be proactive and not only create an AB version of these emails, I also want to create backups of that AB with C and D so that I can react to anything that may happen in the marketplace, tepid demand, something happened, whatever it is that I already, so we're not wasting time. So that allows us to kind of potentially keep revenue on track, can keep demand on track. We can respond to market responses or activities. There's a variety of things that AI can help us do on the front end to where it's just not about getting to the baseline of what we need to do, but it also can help us be more proactive as marketers to kind of get ahead of any potential risk. Even asking the AI to sit there and say, if this email doesn't perform, right, what are my options? Asking that question before you launch your campaign at least gives you visibility into potential things that you could actually kind of pivot to just in case something's not performing the way that you want it to perform.
Right. So then the answer is like, don't limit yourself to just time savings. Limit, you know, explore other avenues where AI can add value, all the things you just mentioned.
Right. So holistically think about your process, right? It's not just about creating those 2 emails. It's creating and getting the AI to help you think about what could potentially go wrong and help me be prepared for that so that I'm not getting an email from my boss at 9 o'clock at night saying, hey, this email's not performing. What are we going to do? Oh, by the way, I already have a plan for that, right? We're going to tee up this second email. We're going to adjust the social media posts. We're going to do this, 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 and this. Right. And then it's, you know, oh, we're going to throw a promotion in there. So there's a variety of ways that AI can help you be better prepared and be proactive.
So then really it's think about time savings plus business outcomes, whatever that may be.
100%. Right. And I love doing that. So it's interesting, too. I like taking my marketing plans and marketing content, and I love using AI as a critic. I want you to act like my boss. I want you to be highly critical and skeptical about what I'm presenting to you and help me find my blind spots. Or I want you to act as a consumer that is not in the position to buy and I need to convince, is my content being convincing enough? So I love using it just as a critique. Like I may create it, but then go back to AI and say, I want you to be my worst best critic. Right. And have them pick apart what I'm doing so that I can then kind of maybe rethink, re-envision what I'm doing to kind of create a better campaign.
I loved your examples. That did sound like a boss. So I think I loved it.
We all get in those meetings and we get to ask those questions. What happens if this doesn't work? Like, what is plan B? Like, okay, if plan B doesn't work, what's plan C? And as marketers, sometimes we get so caught up. We love our creative. We love our messaging. We love something that we get siloed and we get blinders and we don't necessarily think about what could go wrong. Nothing's going to go wrong. This is going to be great. But something happens, right? You know, think about it. Like if you were Delta and you're working in the marketing department, and in the last 2 weeks with all of these FAA directives, did you have a contingency plan in place to kind of market those things? That wasn't expected. I guarantee that was not on anyone's strategic plan, but they had to react to that very quickly because there was like people canceling flights. There's all these things that you have to get ahead of. AI could help you kind of mitigate that by just giving me ideas, helping me think through what contingencies that are there so that I can formulate a faster, better plan to be able to react to that market condition. Right. So that's a real good example of something that recently has happened that I guarantee that the marketers over at Delta had to deal with over the last couple of weeks.
No, absolutely. So home stretch here. We have, obviously, this is phenomenal. Your insight. I'm sure people who read your book come and give you feedback that, hey, this is what I did in 12 minutes. What are some of the things that you hear from people?
that they focused on like the non-marketing related stuff and the administrative stuff. Simple things like, I found 12 minutes by using an AI note taker. It saves me 5 minutes every meeting. It helps me summarize the email. I get the action steps. I'm saving anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes per day just by using an AI note taker. And so the feedback that I get is that I think the people go in initially when they read the book thinking that they're going to be solving big process issues and fixing big process problems. But after they kind of read the book and they kind of put it in practice, what you end up finding is a lot of people kind of find their 12 minutes really in those small little incremental, mostly administrative type activities, you know, email writing, like internal correspondence, not necessarily email writing for marketing purposes. Doing things like analysis and writing Excel spreadsheets. So one of the things that I really like to encourage people is like, yeah, the book is kind of focused on kind of finding 12 minutes wherever you can find it, but don't overlook a lot of that administrative stuff, the stuff that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. If you are a people manager, use an AI note taker to kind of take notes with your one-on-one conversations so that when you have to go back at the end of the year to do their year-end review, instead of trying to remember everything that that person did, you can just upload that stuff into your corporate approved AI tool and say, just summarize all my conversations that I had with Abby this past year. What are some of the things that we talked about? Like, what are the things that I asked them to improve upon? What, you know, what are those blinds? And so you can then summarize that. And like, cause we know as people managers, the last thing we'd like to do is have to go back, oh, I got to write these year-end reviews. So don't ignore some of the administrative side and solely focus just on what you do on a day-to-day basis. Because if you are a people manager, there are opportunities to kind of find that administrative support.
Love it. Love it. I mean, I know I made a change recently where, I don't know if you've heard of this tool called Whisper, where you were talking as opposed to typing. And my world has changed, my friend, because it's like when I'm writing emails and that sort of thing, I'm literally talking for my first draft as opposed to typing it out. So huge, huge time saver for me right there.
Well, that's how I wrote all my books, mainly because I don't type very, I'm not a very fast typer. And I just use the dictate version in Microsoft Word, and I can kind of just talk out a whole chapter to myself and it'll type it up. Now there's typos and all this other stuff, but I can go back and fix the typos with Grammarly, right? So yeah, Whisper, like the dictate functions, those are amazing. And I think they're getting better because they're now getting some AI functions that are included with them. So for me, it's just like, if you are looking to write something long form, you know, and you're not a great or fast typer like myself, man, using those dictation tools are great. I use another AI powered one, Plaud. It's a little like recording device. You know, a lot of people, I've seen them. They've been around for about a year and a half, 2 years. That's an amazing tool as well. I just hit the button, like, and I literally would record a whole chapter of a book while I'm driving in the car, right? I'm like this, people probably think I'm crazy as they drive past, like, why is this guy talking to himself? But I'm just basically, I'm dictating thoughts in my head, and then I'll go back into Word and I'll clean it up later. But yeah, I love the tools. I love how it's integrating into what we do. And it's only going to get better as the technology gets better.
Awesome. Final question for you. As we look towards the future, right, we have agents and, you know, AI browsers and, you know, automation, from automation to autonomous workflows and whatnot. So many things happening. It's moving 200 miles an hour. How are you gearing up and bracing for what the future looks like? And, you know, how do you think your process and workflows are going to sort of stand the test of these new technologies that are coming forward? Or what is your advice to our listeners, marketers, on how to deal with the onslaught of this new tech that's coming over?
Yeah, you know, you and I both know, because we kind of live in this space a lot, right? There's always something new coming out almost every week, every 2 weeks, or something fancy. You know, the way I look at this is that when we think about agents or agentic AI, right, that automation part of AI that we keep hearing about and hasn't really been here yet, but it's coming. Think about, like, if you're a Microsoft Office or Outlook, it's going to get to the point to where I get an email from you. You're asking about what's my availability on Thursday. And AI is automatically finding availability in our calendars. It's already creating the calendar invite. So you start thinking about automation at the fringes. That's really exciting. I look forward to what's going to come with the CRM perspective. An opportunity is entered, right? Being able to have that opportunity based off of AI and now doing an analysis on that opportunity to say, that one should go into this campaign, it goes into this workflow, and those things happening automatically, I think would be great. Or getting an email in my inbox, Salesforce reading it, and then updating the opportunity automatically. So I look forward to a lot of that automation that is coming with a lot of the tools that we use on a day-to-day basis that are just going to help streamline some of the things that we do, not necessarily customer-facing, not necessarily creation, but just kind of automating some of the administrative stuff that we do on a day-to-day basis as marketers, you know, whether it's our CRMs, whether it's our CMS, whether it's our, you know, our digital platforms, whatever those things, you're going to see more and more AI kind of integrate itself into those platforms that are just going to make some of the manual tasks a little bit more automated for us. And I'm excited about that.
Awesome. Frank, thank you very much for making the time today.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. It's a great conversation.
No, absolutely. So if folks who are listening, they want to learn a little bit about you, buy your book, what's the best place for them to connect up with you?
So best place to connect up with me is on my website. FrankLazzaro.com is the easiest place to find me. You could also find me on LinkedIn. And if you are interested in my book, just search my name on Amazon and it'll actually be delivered the next day. So.
Awesome. Frank, thank you very much. And Frank's pretty humble about it, but Frank is an amazing speaker. He is on the speaking circuit. So for those of you who are listening and you're looking for an inspirational speaker, you know, you can go to franklazzaro.com. He has more information about that as well. So make sure to hit him up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. Feel free to connect with me. You can go to sparknovus.com to learn a little bit more about what we do and connect up with me on LinkedIn. Till next time, keep the spark alive. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Big thanks to Spark Novus and the Marketing AI Pulse community. You can join the community at marketingaipulse.com.